Tonight, I'm excited to introduce our speaker in the person of Brother Darian Michael. He worships currently at the Church of Christ in Okinawa, Japan, been married for 5 years. So at this time, I'd ask you all, give your ear, Brother Darian Michael, you speak on the topic, the simple truths of salvation. Okay, Brother Darian.
Yes, tonight I will be talking about the simple truths of salvation. And from my entry into the Church of Christ, the truth, the body, I found out that salvation could be no more simpler than location. And the fact is that no matter who you are or who we are, we all have a few things in common. And one of those things are, whether we know it or not, is that we all need salvation. We all need to be saved. In the book of Acts chapter 2, if you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 2. We're going to get right into this lesson. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. Peter indicates to us all, he encourages us and lets us know. Acts chapter 2, verse 40, Peter says, encouraging us to save ourselves from this lost generation, this up-toward generation. So we all have this need to be saved. And I shared this verse with a friend of mine, and he replied and stated that Jesus saved us. He was indicating that he don't need to save himself. Even though his rebuttal was partially true, however, we must allow God salvation to save us. And how do we do this? How do we obtain the salvation? It is by obedience. It is by us obeying God's will and not our own. But I digress before I go too far into the woods. I would like to define salvation while we are here. What is salvation, you may ask? Or what do I need to be saved from? Well, Webster defines salvation as being preserved or delivered from harm, ruin, or loss. So being preserved and saved from harm, ruin, or loss. Being lost from what, you may ask? Being saved from whom? What danger? I would argue being saved from ourselves, our self-annihilation, our self-destruction. Without the mercy and grace of God, us as humans, me first include myself, would send ourselves to death. And I am grateful that God's mercy are renewed every morning. This saving grace is renewed every morning. If you can, meet me in Lamentations chapter 3. The book of Lamentations, the chapter is 3. I'm going to pick up at verse 22. To see about this mercy and grace and how it is tied to salvation. Lamentations 3 and 22 indicates, the steadfastness, the unchanging love of the Lord never ceases. It does not stop. The Lord's love is unchanging and it never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. His unending mercy. Get this, don't miss this. They are renewed every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now this mercy and grace, this love, unchanging, never ending, steadfast. But what is mercy? Mercy is defined, according to Webster, as compassion and forgiveness shown towards someone who it is within his power to harm or to punish. So God has every right to pay us what is due to us, the repercussions for our wrong actions, our doings, our life outside of Christ. But nevertheless, he first loved us that he sent his only begotten son to bear our sins, to make a way for us to him. And his son became our atonement, our payment for sin, to be our stand in place, as you will, our token. Now, this is why it is imperative that we do God's will and not our own. Because we have to be in Christ to obtain his salvation. But what must we do? How do we get into Christ? We have to be obedient. Jesus states in John chapter 14, verse 15, John 14 and 15, if you will, meet me there. John 14 and 15 tells us that Jesus states, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We must be obedient. If we love him, we must keep his commandments. And the next page over in John 15 and 14, he says this same phrase, but in a different way. He says, if you are my friends, you are my friends if you do what I command. So obedience is key for simple salvation. For us to qualify for salvation, we must keep his commandments. But what are the commandments that we have to obey? Let's continue to investigate the scriptures to see. For us to hear the truth, we must come together. We must be in a place where we could find out what Jesus' commandment is. We could study by ourselves, but that could be biased. So for us to hear the truth, we must assemble. I like how it is written in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10 and 25. This is the English Standard Version. Hebrews 10, verse 25. It says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Some people don't like to meet, especially after this COVID epidemic we had, this pandemic. It's hard to get people to come together. So don't neglect to meet yourself together like we're doing tonight, as in the habit of some. But encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We could call someone, hey, brother, hey, sister, will you be at worship this Lord's Day? Will you be at fellowship? Will you be fellowshipping Sunday? Okay, then. I can't wait to see you there. I look forward to seeing you. Yes, we could study by ourselves, like I stated, but we have to remember that we are dealing with a crafty enemy who desires to shift us like wheat, whom Peter warned us about in 1 Peter 5 and 8. 1 Peter 5 and 8, it tells us to be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowled about, seeketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I don't know if you have any understanding of a lion seeking, a roaring, or looking for someone to devour. But when lions hunt, they tend to seek out the prey that's by themselves. They don't just jump in a herd of antelope or zebra. They stalk out the weaker vessels, the ones that fell behind, that's forsaken the assembly. Another meaning of assembly is accountability. As humans, I'll pick on myself. When we get by ourselves, we can fall into our own proclivities, our own likeness. We can maneuver the scripture in a way to please or to do our will. Proverbs 27 and verse 17 is a universal positive scripture that's used to indicate that iron sharpens iron. And a man is judged by the countenance of his friend. It indicates that wise people should continue to question one another, encourage one another, coach one another, and challenge each other. Amen? So coming together is important to these simple truths. So now that we are together and we understand the importance of that, what must we do when we are together? We are now available to hear the truth about the only begotten Son, who hung, bled, and died for us all, whose last commandments to the apostles in the book of Matthew 28 and 19, we get into the simple truth. Matthew 28 and 19, he tells them to go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to obey all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So he tells them to go out to teach. And after they teach all nations, to baptize them. So when you hear the truth, this allows the truth to change you, to change us in a way that moves us from our old ways. Now, once this change takes place, that's pricking in the heart, as we see in Acts chapter 2. If you can't meet me in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Once this pricking in the heart takes place, We have to confess. We must seek out change. We must confess our wrongs. But we're going to see this change leads to a change of heart. So Acts chapter 2, verse 37, the people, once they heard the truth about the Son of God, about Jesus who hung, bled, and died and was crucified for us all, and how they were wrong in the process of pushing him to be crucified, they were pricked in the heart. They asked Peter, they say, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, pricked, saying, Peter, and to the other disciples, saying to Peter and the other disciples, brother, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name, it's locational, in the name, this is salvation of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Salvation in the simplest form. Once we hear this truth, we should take action. They took actions immediately. Obedience is key. Hear, believe, repent, confess, meaning change from our ways, our lives, our lifestyles outside of Christ. Then once we are baptized, we're not done yet. It's not over. It's not a end all, do all, save all. No, ma'am, no, sir. I beg to differ. We must continue to strive to walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John 1 and verse 7. 1 John 1 and 7 indicates, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we continue to strive to walk faithful, something happens. If we can't continue to try to live in Christ, something happens. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We're assembling, we're fellowshipping. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. This cleansing is continuing. It's a continuation process. The blood that cleanses us from our sin, it takes place. We come in contact with it during baptism. The blood that the Son of God sacrificed, he shed it on the cross, cleanses us while we are. Get this, don't miss it. Walking in the light as he is in the light. Striving to live Christ's life. This is all possible because of the obedience that Jesus Christ shown us. He displayed it, which made it possible for him, being Jesus Christ, to purchase us for a price. We were purchased with his blood, this blood that cleanses us. For us to encounter his blood, we must be obedient. We must be obedient. We have to follow his method to get into the body of Christ, the location, the place where salvation and grace can be found by means of obedience and baptism. Baptism in the Greek means, it's stated or pronounced baptizo, being buried in water, fully submerged, buried in a watery grave. And I like how it's explained what happened in baptism and after baptism in Romans chapter 6. If you can, meet me in the book of Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 1. It tells us what happened during baptism and how we strive to live after we are baptized. What's next? A question is proposed in Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace, this forgiveness, shall abound? Shall we continue? Shall we keep sinning? That we could keep receiving this grace? Verse 2, he indicates, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We have to change. Knowing ye not that so many of us, as we were baptized into, it's locational, into Christ, were baptized into his death. And I would encourage you to go back and read this whole chapter. As we continue in verse 4, it says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was risen up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It's a new life. We're walking in the light as he is in the light. Salvation is locational. For if we have been planted together in his likeness as his death, we shall be also in his likeness of his resurrection. We should become anew, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth from here on out, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we can, please go back and read this entire chapter. It's very encouraging. It shows us that where salvation, or how salvation takes place by being with Christ. It saves us from, salvation saves us from a life outside of Christ. Christ is our atonement, our payment, meaning the way to God that we must follow, the example that God set through him, through his obedience. And we must strive to live faithful now. Now, once we're striving to live faithful, I'm not indicating or proclaiming that we're going to be sinless, but our goal should be to sin less, less, and less. Weed out sin. Shed off sin. Shedding off that old man and his proclivities, his likeness, his habits, daily. Now, this is doable by us walking in the light as he is in the light, by us reading the word of God, studying to show ourselves approved, being a workman ready to provide, to prove the word of God, And we must learn and live out the basic principles, the five acts of worship. But before we get there, we have to be in the right place where we could hear the gospel truth. We could hear the gospel, Acts 15 and 7. Believe the gospel, Acts 15 and 7 as well. Repent, Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, Acts 8, verses 35 through 38. And then being baptized to be saved, Mark 16, verse 15 through 17, Acts 2. Verse 38. And being baptized into Christ is a life-changing phenomenon for us to reach this point of the simple salvation. But that's not the end all or the save all. We must strive to live faithful. Revelations 2 and 10. And by doing so, we aim to live our Christian values out loud. We are meant to be the light of this world, the living epistles, and be the example and the guides for those that are seeking the simple truths about salvation and how their salvation is location. Salvation is found in the body of Christ. Romans 16:16 indicates the churches of Christ solution. And I salute you all as I turn the call back over to Brother Brooks.